It is just, it does a fella good to be away, doesn't it? When we go away, we see new things, and we are reminded of how blessed we are when we get back home. And Jeanette and I just want to thank you for keeping on, carrying on the mission while we were gone. Last Sunday, we had the wonderful privilege of attending worship at Lost Lake. Pastor Bob and Pam are here this morning. We love you guys and are glad that you're here with us. And 18 years, was it, that you guys served there, planted the church. And I tell you, when we walked in, we walked into a new building with a beautiful fellowship hall. We just want to brag on Jesus together for what He has done. To God be the glory for all the great things He has done. And of course, whenever you walk into a Nazarene church, any one of our 35,000 congregations around the world, you'll be walking into a family. Because that's how God has blessed us. We've got a family heart about us. And so it was no different for us to walk into Lost Lake, even though we'd been there a couple times before for a special event. I think we were there for a Christmas program at one time. And yet when we walked in and were greeted just like we were family. And it was a wonderful experience. You have your Bibles this morning. We're going to be starting today a new series in Philippians. We'll be walking through the little letter of Philippians. And I believe that this will be a formative experience for all of us. You may have studied Philippians in depth before. I would hope that you have if you've been a Christian for a while. But you know, God's Word is alive, living, and active. Amen? And you're going to draw from the living water today as we spend some time in Philippians. Are you still with Jesus or just around Him this morning? I want to invite you to come on in. Amen. Let's pray right now and just move on in and be with Him. Jesus, thank You for calling our name and for asking us to come close. Lord, we marvel at what You've done and are grateful for Your presence. We thank You for what You've done in the hearts and lives of others and other churches all over the world. Lord, we draw in especially near right now that as You minister to our hearts through Your Holy Spirit, that we will hear Your voice speaking to us. Lord, lead us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I too especially want to thank Bill for leading the last two Sundays. I just heard so many good things. My parents, for one, bragged on you because we stayed in contact with my folks some. And then as I get back, just hearing what God has been doing here while we were gone. It's just a wonderful blessing and for carrying on small group. Would you also be in prayer for Jeanette? She leaves tomorrow for Ames, Iowa. She'll be returning to her work, doing some New Start assessments with New Church Specialties. And she'll be interviewing a couple in the Salvation Army Church to be planting a new church. Isn't that exciting that we can be reaching and working together? We're blessed with a wonderful denominational family, but we also have resources that we can share across denominational lines or whatever that we can grow together as a body of Christ, and it's so exciting to be a part. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians, and we'll notice that as we move through Philippians that it's joyful. Which is kind of ironic because, as we're going to talk about in just a little bit, the writer of of the Philippians had really a lot of reasons not to be all that excited and all that joyful and all that grateful. One of the most encouraging things we see repeatedly throughout the book of Philippians is Paul's joy, his gratitude, his illogical, nonsensical happiness about, not necessarily his circumstances or his situation, but he has this bubbling up joy inside of him that circumstances and situations just can't keep contained. Amen? And so I trust that you're experiencing that joy because it's real. And if you have not or not been living in that joy, now is a perfect time this morning to get back in touch being not just around Jesus. Because when we're just around Jesus, we get caught up in our circumstances and our situations and we start looking at other people and we start thinking about what, you know, they could have done or what they should have done. But when we're with Jesus, all of our attention is on Jesus. Amen? Amen? Let's get with Jesus this morning and learn what it is about Him that can be translated and put into our spirit, that just like Paul, we have a joy that cannot be contained. Let me give you a little background about the little letter of Philippians. Overwhelmingly, everybody in the church believes that, the Apostle Paul wrote the letter of Philippians. The question of when Philippians was written has everything to do with where it was written as well. You see, it is one of the prison epistles. It's one of Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon written during Paul's imprisonment, one of his many imprisonments. This particular time, he was imprisoned in Rome. The unanimous history of the church, the consensus of the church, as the canon was put together and the book of Philippians was included in the canon, as the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, obviously. This little city was known as the City of Little Fountains. It had a lot of nearby springs and it also had gold mines. So we can imagine that it was a city of some wealth. Philip conquered the region in the 4th century B.C. And by the 2nd century B.C., Philippi became part of a Roman province of Macedonia. By B.C. 42, Philippi became a colony of Rome. Philippi had the same rights granted to cities of Italy, including the use of Roman law. Paul references citizenship often. And there was a great sense of civic pride that they were a colony of Rome. That begins to emerge as you look for that in this letter of Philippians. They adopted many Roman customs, modeled their city after that of Italian cities. And Acts and Philippians both reflect Philippi's status as a Roman colony. In fact, you'll even see that Paul describes Christians as citizens of heaven. He was doing a little play on words, helping them identify their pride with being part of Rome, but is also part of the pride of being a part of God's heaven. Well, the church was planted, and it didn't just happen. Paul was visiting Philippi one day, and though there was no synagogue, because evidently there was not many Jews, there were not many Jews in that region, because you needed at least 10 heads of household to form a synagogue, and there weren't even 10, evidently. So one day when Paul was in Philippi, he went down to a river, and he met a woman by the name of Lydia. Lydia was there. She was leading a group. And Lydia was a dealer of fabric that had been dyed with a very valuable dye, a purple dye. And Paul began to interact with Lydia, and Lydia became a follower of Jesus Christ. Lydia began a church, and we believe that because she was wealthy, the church actually began to meet in her spacious home. And so the church in Philippi had some very gracious beginnings. They didn't start with a grand building. They didn't start with a core group. They didn't start with a core team. They started with one convert. And because of Lydia's influence, the church began to grow. Now, it wasn't long before they ran into problems. And there was a demon-possessed girl that began to call out on Paul. And Paul, right there in Philippi, cast the demon out of the girl, which made the girl's owners, now she was a slave girl, we get this all from Acts, because the girl was a slave and she could no longer make a living as a fortune teller, the slave owners rounded up everybody in the city and said, "These guys, Paul and Silas, are not advocating the rules and customs of Rome." And before you knew it, Paul and Silas were in jail because they had supposedly countered the culture of Rome. Well, Paul began to pray in jail. Remember that story? And there was an earthquake and the jail doors came open. And Paul led the jailer to the Lord, and the jailer led his household to the Lord. This is the background of how the church in Philippi came to be. Years later now, Paul returns to Philippi, and they are so happy to see him. But on this particular occasion, Paul is now captive in a Roman prison. The church in Philippi loves Paul, so they sent Epaphroditus to him with not only a care package to take care of their apostolic leader, also encouragement. They wanted to encourage Paul as he's in prison. But somewhere along the line, whether right there when Epaphroditus arrived or while he was there, Epaphroditus got very sick. And so Paul sends Epaphroditus back to Philippi and explains later in the letter of Philippi, "I'm not sending him back because he didn't do a wonderful job. I'm sending him back because I'm concerned about his well-being." So Epaphroditus picked up this little letter from Paul. Paul wrote it while he was with him, and then he sent Epaphroditus back to Philippi with this letter that we now hold in our hands. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Among the themes of the letter are joy in serving Jesus and the intentionality of pursuing Christ-likeness. Let's turn to Philippians, and I'd like to lead us in reading verses 1 through 27 of chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in Christ, in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. What's happened to him? He's in prison. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. This wasn't just house arrest. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Isn't that something? That under the threat of imprisonment, Christians wouldn't be quiet. Under the threat of the same fate that was brought to their Jesus, our Jesus, and to their apostolic leader, the Apostle Paul, it just seemed to fuel the fire that they had in serving and loving and sharing Jesus. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord. Huh? Oh, I'm telling you, this doesn't make rational sense. There's something more going on than this being just a good story. The Holy Spirit is at work. And all the brothers and sisters become confident in the Lord, dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ of selfish ambition, but not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or from true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I'll continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Or if I go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ will abound on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Then, whether I come and see you or hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Since you're going through the same struggle I saw you had, and now hear that I still have. Three things I'd like to share this morning. Number one, gratitude flows from partnership with God, friends, and family in the gospel. partnership with God. You see, joy is like the raw material. The raw energy. The Spirit Himself in us. And that spirit of joy is going to express itself in a variety of ways. We're going to talk about that. And today is gratitude. Joy, it's normal for the Christian to live thankful. Amen? It's the normal Christian life for us to be joyful. And one of the avenues that joy is going to escape from us, we can't even help it, is being grateful. Now there's things, like Bill said, sometimes gratitude doesn't come or feel natural, and we have to exercise spiritual discipline to be find something to be thankful for in the situation. But it all comes back to joy. The reasons are there to be thankful, and the joy is there to be expressed. Let's go back to Philippians 1, 3 through 5. Gratitude flows from partnership with God, friends, and family in the gospel. I thank God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. The first 3 days of our vacation, Jeanette and I went to Pasture and Spouse Retreat in Pierre Marquette State Park. Beautiful lodge. You've been to the White Pines? It's built in that architecture back in the 30s, I think, under a presidential put America back to work plan. And the beams in this thing are this big around, big, great big logs. Absolutely beautiful. Pierre Marquette State Park. You got to go. It's right on the Mississippi River. What a joy, especially this year, because this year they asked our son Paul to lead the worship, the singing, and to hear, you know, 60 pastors and their spouses singing and praising the Lord, and to see Paul there was a wonderful blessing. And then our district superintendent asked Pastor Nathan, who we've now sent to DeKalb with our blessing, to share the message on Friday night. And I'm just, Jeanette and I are just overflowing with gratitude. And I've been thinking about that. I've been thinking about the beauty of partnering with family, the beauty of partnering with friends, the beauty of partnering with the church, the beauty of partnering with His church. It's such a blessing. I want to talk briefly this morning about partnering with your family in ministry. You see, gratitude comes from partnering with God, family, and friends in advancing the gospel. Can you hear me all the way back? This is good. Partnering with your family is so powerful and beautiful because it's so intimate. Your family has seen you in your underwear. There's nothing that you can hide now, okay? And so, it's just raw. So when you gather together at your family table to pray for somebody, when you gather together to ask God for His blessing and resources and help in just keeping your family on track and doing ministry together, it's powerful because your wife's looking at you knowing that she knows everything about you, and yet you're leading spiritually. It's a beautiful thing, amen, when children get involved in what mom and dad and grandma and grandpa are interested in. Amen? And when mom and dad and grandma and grandpa are interested in things of God, the kids are learning and understanding and find excitement and joy and gratitude, and they come back home exhausted, but there's something inside of them that's there that wasn't there before. It's happiness, it's gratitude, it's excitement. Partnering with God, family, and friends. I thank my God every time I remember you in prayer for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Like I said, last week we went to Lost Lake, and there was a Sheila on the platform, and then what's her daughter's name? Cheyenne. Many of you may remember Cheyenne because we had Cheyenne in Bible school 10 years ago when we did it out here at the park. And I sat there and I knew Sheila, but I saw this young gal next to her and I thought, I wonder if that's one of her daughters. And I had to ask after the service. And I'm like, you know, it was a small part, but we had a part in that. Amen? Because of our partnership together in the gospel, here's a young lady who was probably 7. I don't know how old she is now. She was 8. And she went through, and we asked her, we said, "What do you remember Bible school?" Yeah, it was, which one? The Fiesta. She remembers Fiesta. And her mom says, "Do you remember John and Jeanette?" And she just drew a blank. No. But you know, that didn't matter because she remembered Jesus. Amen? And Jesus is now in her life and she's leading worship. How exciting! Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Partnering with family, friends in the gospel. Whether we're hanging out, hanging sheetrock, or sharing our community room with a group, or participating in a small group or project, or praying together for a need, or helping someone find our church online, what I love about Living Well is we love doing ministry together, partnering in ministry together. I remember talking about partnership, the concept of partnership with Dick, who's now with Jesus in glory, Ella's husband. We used to talk a lot about partnering together in ministry. Partnering with the local church, partnering with the region, partnering with the denomination, to do things so that the sum of our efforts together amount to more than just the sum of the parts. Amen? You see, we can get things done together that we can't do by ourselves. Amen? As a district, our mission is to reproduce churches who make Christ-like disciples in the nations. A Christ-like disciple values Christian truth, holiness, character, and missional excellence. We envision, as a district, 3,000 disciple makers gathering in 300 churches with 15,000 Christ-like disciples and 30,000 worshipers by the year 2030. Woo! You know what? We think, boy, that's really big growth. That's how we have always grown as a denomination. God, help us not get in the way. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us. We're now nearly 2 million members strong as a denomination in a little over 100 years. Over 30,000 local congregations. God continues to bless. with over 3 million attending worship. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just be as bold to know that God wants to do that here locally too. Amen. That means each of us discipling others. Each of us disciple others. Some of our partnerships together, even here this morning, are years old, and some of them are weeks or months old. But it is through our partnership, cooperation, working together in conjunction with the body that we get anything done that's lasting. You see, one of us can go off and do something and it looks really good, but if there's not anybody there to help maintain it and sustain it, it's just going to fall. Can you hear me all the way back? We got to work together so that what we build here in the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, is sustainable by the family of God, having invested their lives too in what happens here. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together unless they're in agreement?" Partnership means that we are in agreement, that we are, what we're doing here is worth giving top priority in our lives. Partnerships are based on mutual cooperation. And in fact, church membership means partnership. It means that you're a follower of Jesus and saved and living in obedience to His call. It means that you can be counted on to shoulder part of the load, the responsibility, spiritually, which encompasses all the other areas of what it takes to keep on keeping on the mission of Jesus Christ. Emotionally, physically, financially, mentally, and relationally, it means we're all in as a partner with what's going on in the kingdom of God. Partnership means investment, willingness to work hard and take educated risks together so that Jesus' work grows in and through us. Now, there's times when the rest of the body has to carry the weight of an injured or grieving, scared or fearful disciple. And that person, probably above anybody else in the congregation, is thinking, I wish I could do more. I wish I could do more. But you know what? A healthy body heals. Amen. And as a church, we work to facilitate healing for the injured, the grieving, the scared, or the fearful. And as that individual heals, just like a broken bone, pretty soon it's restored to full functioning. Amen? Philippians 1, 6-7. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. Whether I'm in chains or defending and affirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. Paul sets the pace here. Gratitude comes from setting the gospel of Christ as a priority in our lives. You see, what we're doing here is not something that we do if there's nothing else going on. Can you hear me all the way back? This is what we do because this is who we are. And there are times that we have to say no to good things in order to say yes to the best things. So we're here. Partners in the gospel. Amen? Because it's a priority. And gratitude flows because we're partnering and we're prioritizing the gospel. Oh, I know. Sometimes we get tempted to give up. But we've learned from Jesus and the Apostle Paul that giving up only short circuits what God wants to do. Because if we give up, we have to keep taking that test. We have to keep taking it until we pass it. Amen. So we might as well not give up. Might as well just keep your nose in it. Keep your head in the game. And keep on keeping on going forward. Amen. All right. People do amazing things when they fully believe in what they're doing. I'd like to ask Jeanette to come. It's Renata's. It's Renata's mic.
Okay. Well, I was, as John and I were talking about the service for today, I told him what I had been reading in my studies, and I mentioned one of the chapters I'd been reading was on gratitude in the book by Leslie Parrott, You Matter More Than You Think. And she devoted a whole chapter to gratitude. So I want to share just some snippets from that, and I apologize for you ladies who's a part of that study. I'll be telling you this again Wednesday night, some of it. But Leslie states in her book, You Matter More Than You Think, that she learned to be grateful through the pain in her life. And I didn't like how that sounded, so I continued to read. And I did learn something through that, but let me just go over some of the things that she was talking about. She said she indicates that she actually found a place for gratitude in the aftermath that erupted in her erupted in her family when her dad divorced her mother. Now they were a pastor family, and her mom and dad had been married for 35 years, and no one saw this on the horizon. At their 35th wedding anniversary, he let her mother know that he had been having an affair, and he divorced her. So this, you know, brought, as you can imagine, some deep emotional unrest for Leslie. So she took her, she started on a journey that took her to a beach called Discovery Beach in Seattle. And she learned some things as she kind of laid her life down and tried to process her way through this deep hurt. But she says she came to see gratitude through pain in her life so plainly and so clearly that she literally practices being grateful. And I thought, that's good. That's really good, because sometimes we forget just the simple things, like Glenn Schmall lending a helping hand to help build our nursery, because the rest of us were building other things and very, very busy. He came in and helped us with that. But just the small things. I want us this morning, just for a moment, if you could bow your head, not looking around, but just check yourself for a moment and see how thankful you are for the struggles you faced on life's journey. Have you grown bitter? Or are you allowing God to use them to help you grow spiritually? Are you allowing God to use you to help others going through similar circumstances? And I just wanted you to pause for a moment and think about that. So wherever you're at on that journey, God is with you. He will help you through it. But once we come around to expressing gratitude for lessons we learn from pain in our past, we experience for ourselves personal redemption and healing. And we transform our pain into a tool that we can use to love others more effectively. And she says that on page 48 in her book. That's not my quote. She says, not only does gratitude make you more helpful, it also makes you happier. And she says, in fact, there's research to show this. And so I found that interesting. She says there's something fascinating happening in the psychology field today. More than 60 scientists have been given millions of dollars. I found that remarkable. In finding help for humanity to find happiness. Okay. And I hear that a lot in the counseling office. I'm just not happy. And I'm like, well, okay, let's work on this. But Leslie says a popular movement among psychologists is called positive psychology. It's an attempt to elevate and focus its research on people's strengths rather than only trying to deal with human weakness and problems. And she shared a story in U.S. News and the World Report. She says, once income provides for basic needs, it doesn't correlate to happiness. Nor does intelligence, prestige, or sunny weather, though we like it today. It's really nice. People grow used to new climates, higher salaries, and better cars. What the researchers found was that living a life of gratitude is what brings happiness, or at least a component of it. They also found people who make frequent practice of being thankful are not only more joyful, but the study concludes they're healthier, less stressed, and more optimistic, and more likely to help someone else. So the more gratitude you cultivate, the more grace you have for others. So think about yourself again for just a moment. Is this true in your life? Whenever you cultivate the gratitude, the things that God has given you, how does that show itself to others? What am I thankful for? And I listed a few of mine, and they probably are similar to yours. Healthy family, great friends, the body of Christ working together to build the kingdom of God here in Dixon, in other words, other places in the world, heat, water, chocolate, restrooms, pizza, all are good, foods and clothes, all are good. I want to leave you with just one story, and this is also found in the book, but it comes from The Hiding Place from Corrie Ten Boom, and you may have heard it before, but as I've heard some of my friends dealing with the flea problem this fall, this might interest you. So during World War II, Corrie Ten Boom and her sister, Betsy, had been harboring Jewish people in their home, so they were arrested and put into prison. The barracks were extremely crowded and infested with fleas. One morning they read in their tattered Bible from the 1 Thessalonians the reminder to rejoice in all things. Corrie, we've got to give thanks for this barracks and for these fleas, Betsy said. No way am I going to thank God for the fleas, Corrie replied. But Betsy was persuasive, and they thanked God even for the fleas. During the months that followed, they found that the Nazi guards left their barracks relatively free, allowing them to talk openly, pray, and read their Bible, where none of this was typically allowed. Their barracks became the only place of refuge at the camp. Several months later, they learned the reason. The guards never entered their barracks because of the fleas. The Ten Boom sisters, through their startling gratitude, have enabled so many to believe that God is capable of bringing good out of evil and healing out of suffering, no matter how grave the circumstances. Now, I wanted to read a bit of commentary. I'm using my dad's Bible now these days, and I really love it. It has a piece of commentary after every scripture that's written to kind of help me understand it. But this is a part of a commentary I was reading in regards to gratitude. Our joy, prayers, and thankfulness should not fluctuate with our circumstances or feelings, Obeying these three commands, be joyful, pray continually, and give thanks, often go against our natural inclinations. When we make a conscious decision to do what God says, however, we will begin to see people in a new perspective. When we do God's will, we will never find it easier to be joyful and thankful. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Jeanette. Just want to leave you with one thought this morning as the worship team comes. Joy is not the absence of hardship. It is the presence of Jesus. Didn't Jesus say that he would be with us always? Joy is not the absence of hardship. And one of the ways joy is expressed is gratitude. It's not the absence of hardship. It is the presence of Jesus. Amen. Let's express our thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning as we close our service together. Would you stand together with us?
You did not wait for me to draw near. to seek and save the lost.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. God bless you guys. Have a blessed week. You are dismissed.